Good morning. My name is Mike Turkowski. This is my wife, Elizabeth. We stand here honored to have been asked to speak on such an important feast day. We are the proud parents of three amazing kids, our 10-year-old, strong-willed, and compassionate Eloise, our sweet, creative, and hilarious 7-year-old, James, and our free-spirited fireball of a 3-year-old, Frances.
When I received the call from Father Jim asking us if we would consider speaking, it was the day after Thanksgiving, and we were rounding everyone up to head out to pick out a Christmas tree. It was one of our favorite traditions that James starts to count us down from the walk home from trick-or-treating. As Father went over what this would entail, I glanced out the window to the car, filled with my family waiting for me. Our chaotic morning of trying to get out the door quickly flashed through my head. Where are her shoes? Who has a hat and mask? Yes, you have to wear a coat. It's 30 degrees. No, you can't wear your plastic heels to the tree farm. Your favorite Legos, guys, will get lost in the mud on the farm. Do not bring them again this year, please. You just had breakfast. No more pie.
How did the dog get out again? Who let Frances out of her car seat? All's fine, Mr. Kevin. No one's hurt.
Why on earth would Father want us to speak? I took a deep breath. I told Father Jim I would think about it, and I joined my patient husband in the car to fill him in. We promised to get through this magical and rather cold tradition and talk more about it that evening. Later that night, we sat down together and decided that not in spite of the chaos that our life with three young kids was, but because of it, speaking today was a challenge that we had to accept. Mary and Joseph were handed the biggest responsibility, and without hesitation, they trusted God and accepted the challenge. I think we can stand up here and speak in one of our favorite places for a few minutes, child-free, mind you. The next step in this process was, what on earth would we even say? We certainly don't have the answers of how to raise a perfect family, but maybe that's just it. Mary and Joseph didn't have all the answers when God chose them, but they trusted that God would guide them. I was raised in Elmira, New York, to two amazing Irish Catholic parents. I'm one of six kids. My dad was one of eight, and my mom one of 12. God bless my strong grandparents. My connection to God and my church community was the foundation of my upbringing, and I am eternally grateful for it. This was passed down for generations. Whether it be saying the rosary as a family every night during Lent, being in youth groups, or volunteering throughout the community, my parents taught each of us the importance of finding God wherever we were and exemplifying the Holy Family's courage and faithfulness when no one was watching. Be kind to someone today, was said to us by my mother every single time we left the house. There was so much more to this statement, and we knew to honor it. It wasn't until I was a mother that my connection to Mother Mary really began. I often thought about all that I had learned of Mary's strength and responsibility and felt connected to her. I too now was being handed one of God's children and was expected to raise them. And well, how was her faith and trust in God unwavering? What a responsibility and a scary one. Why her? All of these thoughts had to have gone through her head. Motherhood alone is a constant roller coaster of emotion, struggles, triumph, growth, defeat, and exhaustion. So much exhaustion. All of this without the weight of knowing you are giving birth to the Son of God. Strength, faith, and trust. I often think of my grandmother, who always went to Mary for strength and prayer, especially in matters pertaining to her 12 children. When I had my kids, it all made sense. God didn't just pick the perfect woman to raise his only son, but he picked the perfect woman to guide all future mothers to raise their children. From that day forward, I leaned on Mother Mary. I prayed to her to help me be the best person that I can be for myself and for others. I prayed to her to help me live a life of strength, courage, and trust, just as she did.
Today's gospel includes many motion verbs, words that describe a family in constant movement. That's how I would describe my childhood and most of my adult life. I grew up in Haverhill, Massachusetts, to a Polish immigrant mother and an American father. My mother came to the U.S. at the age of 18. She came from Poland at a time when the country was suffering from communist rule of the Soviet Union. When I think about her actions, I'm reminded of the time the Holy Family had to flee Egypt due to the dangers they faced from King Herod. At the time of her arrival, she barely knew any English, had very little money to her name, and slept on couches of family friends. Neither of my parents had an education past high school. They worked long hours in a factory and eventually worked their way up in their companies. Whenever I reflect on my dedication to my own job and work ethic, I think of the values my parents instilled in me. When I was born, childcare was a huge expense for my parents, as it is for most families these days. So my grandmother, I call her Babcia, came from Poland to help raise me. My grandmother was my rock and a very important role model throughout my childhood. She taught me the importance of love, family, and faith. She is a devout Catholic and made it a priority that my parents work hard to put me in Catholic school and instill the same values and beliefs she raised her children with, no matter what the cost. Anybody else's parents had to work parish bingo night to pay for tuition? Babcia lived with us for most of my childhood. I always remember her saying the rosary every night before bed. Babcia showed me that family drives us to work harder, to love harder, and to do better. I take so many of the lessons she taught me and apply it to my own parenting. The biggest being her patience and faithfulness in God. No matter the hardship she faced or the stress I caused my mother with my military career, filled with moves and so much travel, she prayed. She prayed hard. She taught me to lean on God and hand my worries over to him. When I think of the life that Joseph was dealt, I'm sure that he too had to hand his worries over to God. He knew that the road ahead would be challenging, but God had a plan and he had to trust in that. In this gospel reading, Mary and Joseph certainly didn't have it all together. As a parent, you can feel their panic, searching for their only son for days. They were just like your average family. Mary was sure in the chaos of the trip that Jesus was with Joseph and the men. And Joseph, I'm sure, was assuming Jesus was with his mother. Could anything be more relatable? They were not perfect parents. They had stressful moments when they were tired, and I'm sure they were questioning, why us? Who hasn't? I don't know of a new parent who's handed that child and doesn't have a split-second moment where they question Am I really capable of being held responsible for this little person? And how many times have our kids asked us questions or made comments that stop us dead in our tracks? Here are exhausted and worried sick Mary and Joseph, finding calm Jesus in a temple after searching for days and days for him. I'm sure there were quite a few things they wanted to say that they may have regretted. Jesus just looked at his mother and said, "Mom, I was in my father's house. Where else would I be?" Sometimes it's our kids that remind us to have that trust in God and to put us back on our path.
When I was a child, I often quietly questioned so much of what the Roman Catholic Church was teaching. I didn't agree with many of the social issues that were being taught in school, and got in trouble for quickly volunteering to debate said issues in religion class, resulting in being walked down to the principal's office. The older and wiser I got, the less at home I felt in the church, the less I felt Jesus and his true teachings there. There was one time growing up that I felt truly connected and inspired in church. It was when a young priest named Father Jim Callan came to our parish to fill in. He took the time to talk to our youth group. He engaged with us and included everyone. He met with us on our level and explained scripture in a way that was relatable and inspiring. It was something that none of us ever forgot, despite the short time that he was with our parish. After Father Callan was transferred, I continued to disconnect from the church, but I never stopped searching for some spiritual connection and sense of community. Nonetheless, when we had kids, Mike and I craved the community with which we were raised. We wanted so badly to raise our children with some of those same traditions, so back we went. It wasn't until our oldest was six and my frustration with homilies became harder and harder to sit with. It made my stomach turn. We would walk our family into Mass, get halfway through the homily, give each other a look, and make a point of standing up and walking out, unable to stand for what was being preached. One Sunday, after another walk out of Mass, our fierce six-year-old Eloise opened her mouth from the back seat. "Mom, can I ask you a question?" "Sure, El." Why are we going to these marches and fighting for women's rights and for people to love who they love, but our church doesn't even let girls be priests or include all people?" My stomach dropped. Mike and I looked at each other. I think this was the same feeling that Mary and Joseph had when Jesus said, "Why are you surprised to find me in my dad's house?" They had been searching and searching without answer to where their child was, and when they finally found him, it was so clear. Of course he'd be in his father's house the whole time. Sometimes it takes our unbiased children to point out the obvious. And in those moments, God is reminding us that we just need to listen. 2 weeks later, we stumbled upon Spiritus Christi. Lo and behold, there was Father Jim Callan, and beside him, two incredible women whose impact on the community was nothing short of impressive, inviting all people to the table. We were home. We were in our Father's house. This is where we know that we can truly live a life that emulates that of the Holy Families.
So how do we live a life that emulates that of the Holy Family? We listen to our children. Our children are not our children, they're God's children. It's not our job to mold them. It's our job to let them know that they are held and free. The ultimate challenge in being Jesus' mother and father had to have been knowing that Jesus' life direction was not up to them. They could guide, nurture, and encourage him, but ultimately, his path was his own and God's. Their role was reminded to them in the temple that day. The fear they were feeling needed to be released. This child they were raising was not just a gift for themselves, but for all of mankind. What a hard thing this is as parents, to step back and let your child be great and forge their own path. Trust in God. Mary and Joseph, in accepting this responsibility of raising Jesus, had to trust in God. Elizabeth and I trust that God has a plan for our family, and trust each other that we will give our best in everything we do. Being humble, life is messy. Parenting is so messy. Just when we think we've figured it all out, or the opposite, our world keeps tumbling down. We find our child in the temple, calmly and eloquently preaching to his elders. We don't have all the answers, and we aren't supposed to. It's a journey. We need to trust in God and in each other and be open to learning as we go.
So we thought long and hard on what we would want to leave you with today, because we, as we have said, we don't have the answers. It came down to two quotes from two of the strongest women we know. First being my strong and courageous mother, who wakes up every day with a smile and positive outlook, despite when the sky is gray outside her window and her body doesn't work like it should. Be kind to someone today. This is Jesus' message in simplest terms. Spread love wherever you go. Kindness can take many forms, and even the simplest smile on a stranger's face can have a huge rippling effect. Kindness changes the world. Second would be our family motto, taken from the amazing Glennon Doyle. The only constant family rule is that everyone has to keep showing up. We will make mistakes. We will be caravanning home from Jerusalem, and we will lose a child for 3 days, but we will find him. We have to start fresh. We have to acknowledge we are human and doing our best and just keep showing up. Even if you have to show up at the Christmas tree farm with Legos in hand, in your plastic heels, without a coat, this is all that God asks of us.